All right, welcome back to the Hottest Ex-Wife Ever podcast. I am so excited for today. This is episode 4 and it is called My Psychic Told Me to File for Divorce, So I Did. And I'm going to tell you all about my psychic. Her name is Sue. I've recommended her to a ton of my friends and we always say in Sue we trust because Sue is literally never ever wrong. And I'm going to tell you all about that. But I actually think that this podcast is a little bit of a good slash bad influence on me because right before this, I recorded a podcast episode for my other podcast, which I have a business podcast called the Sabrina Philip Podcast, which if you're into business, you can go listen to that. I drop a new episode every Wednesday. But I said a swear word on that podcast, which I do swear in content from my main business, but I would say rarely. I try not to. So I was like, oh my God, I said a swear word. And I was a bit more like conversational, I feel. Whereas normally I feel like I have a podcast voice. I'm like, welcome back to the Sabrina Philip podcast. In today's episode, da 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 da. I was like, nah, we didn't have that today. So y'all are being a good slash possibly bad influence on me. We'll find out. But I have opened up a Burgundy Pinot Noir from Gevrey Chambertin because I think we're going to need some grape juice for today's episode. Before we get into it, I did want to go ahead and just say thank you to everyone who's tuning in. We had some new reviews come in and I just thought I would read two of them and say thank you. So this review is from J391 in the United Kingdom who writes, love the first two episodes and can't wait for future episodes. Thank you so much for tuning in. And then this review is from the United States from Danielle who says, to be honest, divorce podcasts are pretty boring. It's all a bunch of victim echo chamber for people to feel bad about themselves and remain stuck in their victimhood. This podcast is not that. Sabrina is real. She is authentic. And honestly, she's hilarious. The perfect embodiment of a woman who can go through something really, really hard and come out swinging stronger than ever on the other side. More of this. Thank you so much to both of you. I might read a couple more reviews. I might not do that every single episode, but every once in a while, I might just share some of them just to let you know that I am reading them. I am so appreciative and I love the community that we're building together. So let's talk about psychics. So I don't think, from what I can remember, that I have ever spoken to a psychic before I got divorced. I have spoken to psychics who would do like an annual reading for me for my business where they would read like, here's the energy of January, here's the energy of February for the year ahead. So it's like a business energy reading, but it's not so much like, am I going to be with this guy? What's going to happen next? Like I had never really done that. I mean, maybe I did 8 years ago and you remember that story and you're going to be like, Sabrina, haha. Yes, you did. I can't remember. I literally cannot remember truly going to a psychic. Astrologers, yes. Astrologers all damn day. Psychic, no. So Cherie, who I told you about last week, my divorce twin, my bestie, love her so much. She knew this astrologer from when she was married to her ex-husband named Sue. To give you some vibe of who is Sue. Sue is, if I were to guess, I would say like late 60s, early 70s. She is like a wood witch. She lives in like I'm going to say the middle of nowhere, England, but I feel like if someone heard that town, they'd be like, Sabrina, that's not the middle of nowhere. As an American from Miami Beach, pretty much everywhere is the middle of nowhere, I would say. But interestingly, I feel like everyone thinks Edinburgh is the middle of nowhere. I remember when my sister came to visit the first time, she saw a North Face store and she suddenly thought that we like had civilization. She was like, oh my God, you have a North Face store? I'm like, yeah. We do. We also have a Gucci store right this way. But I'm telling you, I think Sue's town is the middle of nowhere, England. And when you ask Sue, like, Sue, please teach me about tarot. She's like, first, you must learn the plants. And she obviously says this in like an English accent, but I'm not going to try and mimic that because I would be really bad at it. But she's like, just go hug a tree, like go learn the mushrooms, go learn the birds, and then we can start. So she's just very old school. She charges what feels like pennies for her work. I have gone to psychics after I got divorced that I would literally pay them like $200 to send me 3 questions voice memoed. And I remember one time I paid for one of those. Her name is like Serena. She's like a really big Instagram psychic. And I swear to you, she did not answer my questions. She gave me the wrong person's file. So I asked her for like a week. I was trying to get in touch with her because there was no way she was not responding. Like, hey, you gave me someone else's reading and then she sent me the reading back and I'm 99% positive. She just has like a giant spreadsheet where she's like, love question, send this file, business question, send that file. Like it was the worst experience. Not in the sense that it's like upsetting or devastating, but it was just kind of like, I know that there are crap psychics out there is what I'm saying. Like, I'm well aware. Like, there are crap psychics that absolutely suck that are total liars and swindlers. Sue is a nice, lovely old lady who just happens to know everything because in Sue we trust. So Cherie told me about her when I found out I was getting a divorce. And she's like, you have to go to Sue. Sue will make you feel so much better. And that's true. Sue's energy is so calming. She'll just be like, all right, love, I'm going to send you some healing. I'm going to send you some healing. I don't think this woman ever sleeps because if I send her a text at like 1 a.m, she gets back to me. She's always sending energy, healing energy to people that they didn't pay for, by the way, at like 2, 3 a.m. Because she's like, they're just more receptive because they're asleep. And I'm like, okay, cool. And obviously she like asked for your consent for this, but Sue is just like truly not of this world. So I go to Sue and she was just crazy. Like she just knew absolutely everything. So I was literally going to her like every single week of the first several months of my divorce. And I still go to see her, I would say probably like every 3 weeks or so. And I text her all the time. So you can like buy email questions from her and I just like text them to her on WhatsApp and she'll get back to me. But Sue told me to file for divorce. So I did. Like, I remember when I separated from my ex, it was July 3rd, 2023, the Monday. That Friday, which I think was July 8th, 5 days later, he packs his stuff. He goes. The next day, he's on a plane from London to Australia. Never saw him again. I was expecting that he would send divorce papers because he was the one who said, I want a divorce. I'm leaving. He, you know, moved to San Francisco. He went to Australia first while his visa was processing. And then like 6, 7 weeks later, he was in San Francisco. So I expected that he would be the one to file for divorce, and he never did. He tried to divorce me via ChatGPT, which is a conversation for another day. But basically the long story short of that was he like wasn't filing, like he wasn't getting in touch. He wasn't saying anything. He just completely disappeared. And I went on a date with a guy that I really, really liked. And that snapped me the fuck out of it so quickly. And I was like, oh, like I want to have a life, you know, like I want to be with somebody else. And I remember Sue was like, you need to file. He's never going to file. And I did. So I hired a divorce attorney. And I remember she quoted me what it was going to be. It ended up being like 4 times that amount because he just would not respond. So I have the conversation with her and I'm like, I think it's going to be super straightforward. I don't think there's, you know, going to be any fighting. I think we'll just get the paperwork and send it to him. And she's like, okay, great. So I sent him a text or an email or whatever it was. And I was like, hey, you know, I think that we could get this wrapped up by Christmas. And he sends me the most insane long email. And you can tell ChatGPT wrote it. I might ask ChatGPT, ChatGPT, do you think ChatGPT wrote this? Like, I promise you, ChatGPT wrote that. I was married to the man. I was with him for 6 years. His reading comprehension is not that high. And in the email, he's like, you know, let's set some principles for how we will have the financial discussion. Like, what are, you know, let's have some values of fairness and reciprocity and whatever. Would you like to pay me in a lump sum or would you like to pay me in monthly installments? And at that point, I was like, okay, stop, talk to my lawyer. And that's why it ended up being 4 times more, but like literally tried to divorce me via ChatGPT instead of just hiring an attorney. But Sue told me to file for divorce. So I did. And that was so important for me. And I think that was the moment that I really shifted my perspective around my divorce, because I think there was this weird in-between feeling of waiting to see what he was going to do. And I think that was such a pattern in my marriage, was just constantly waiting to see what he was going to do and how he was going to react. And is he going to blow up again? Is he going to leave again? And one of the things that I've learned in therapy is that when you have a partner who is constantly threatening things and constantly, you know, blowing up the bus, for lack of a better term, they are the one with all of the power and control, because you're just waiting to see what are they going to do and then manage that fallout. So, you know, my ex, he would disappear all the time. He's the one with all the power. I think it could be easy to be like, well, you had the big business and you had so much money. I think power can be financial, but I think that in this case, it was really about who is waiting to see how the other person is going to react. So me deciding to file for divorce was a really big turning moment. And I think what was so interesting about Sue, She told me exactly when my divorce would be finalized. She's like, February, March, it'll be final. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way. Like, that's literally way too fast. So in Scotland, there's 4 grounds for divorce. So you can get divorced if both parties agree. You've been separated for at least a year and both parties agree, you can get a divorce. If you have been separated for at least 2 years, it doesn't matter if the other guy, you know, doesn't agree. Let's say I'd been separated from my ex for 2 years. Doesn't matter if he doesn't agree. I've been separated for 2 years. I can get a divorce. The other one is adultery. So if you are going to divorce someone for adultery, you have to serve the affair partner. So if your husband fucked a stripper, you serve the stripper, which I think is so savage and hilarious, but you know, you do you, babes. And then I can't even imagine. We have this, like, in Edinburgh, the strip clubs are all in this area of town that we call the pubic triangle, because the 3 little strip clubs are literally in a triangle. So I cannot imagine my husband fucks a stripper, so I decided to divorce him, and having, imagine the strip club's called the Pink Pony Club. Dear, you know, Betsy at the Pink Pony Club, you need to go to Edinburgh Sheriff Court to tell us whether or not you fucked Bob. Like, can you imagine? But so that's one of the ways that you can get divorced in Scotland. And the last one, which is what I did, was unreasonable behavior. So for unreasonable behavior, you have to prove that what someone did was so beyond normal behavior. So that could be, in my case, I proved physical abuse. It could be that someone is an alcoholic or an addict. It could be, you know, that someone is, you know, just very harmful, that the behavior is not reasonable. So it's not like we're fighting. It's like no normal person should be allowed to live in this house, and I cannot continue to live in this house and be in this marriage. So I knew that getting my divorce likely would take a while, because I have a friend here in Scotland. She's been separated for like 4 or 5 years and is still not divorced. I know that so many of you probably know stories or have lived through it yourself. Your divorce took a long time. I hired my divorce attorney, I think it was the last week of August or the first week of September. So I'd been separated for about 2 months when I decided to hire a divorce attorney and file, because Sue told me to. So from that point, 4 months later, 3.5 months later, we had agreed to the financial terms. And I remember telling myself, all I want for Christmas is a divorce. It didn't seem likely at all. I was sitting in the cab in New York City. I just landed from Edinburgh. I was going to New York to do a checkup with my plastic surgeon after I got my nose done. And I was going to meet Cherie, actually, because Cherie lives in New York. I was going to meet her at the St. Regis. We were going to go out, have some fun, jump on the bed, literally all of that. And I get an email from my divorce attorney. Her name is Nairi. And she said, you know, I know that you really want to get this done. I think this is a good deal. We should agree to it. And I'm like, fuck it, just let it go, sign. And then after Christmas, they drafted, because this was like right before they shut down for the Christmas break. After Christmas, they drafted the agreement. They have to email back his attorney, because obviously I paid the bulk of the legal fees and all of the drafting work and filing fees and all of that. Sent his attorney, because he finally hired one when he realized he wanted a lot of money from me and that he was going to need legal representation to do that. Send it to his attorney. She signs off. Yep, we agree. And I remember she put some really bitchy clauses back in there, but whatever. And then it had to get printed. It had to get mailed to California. He had to sign it in California, mail it back to his divorce attorney's office. And then his divorce attorney had to send it to my divorce attorney's office. And my divorce attorney emailed me on Valentine's Day to say, your papers are in the office. Can you come in on Friday and sign? And I did. So, you know, that's September, October, November, December, 4 months of negotiating. And then January, February, 6 weeks later, it signed. My divorce was finalized on March 14th, 2024. And we filed with the courts on March 8th, which was International Women's Day. So it moved really, really fast. And I remember Sue saying, you know, your divorce will be finalized in February or March. And I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking like June, July. I was like, this process is going to take a year, but it went so quickly. She told me ahead of time when he was going to fight for money. She told me, you need to get a divorce attorney. You need to be prepared. She told me about, you know, the communication that he would be doing. You're not going to hear from him, then you are. Interestingly, she has a prediction. She thinks that I'll be hearing from him. She thinks he's going to get married again. which will be his third marriage. She thinks he's going to get divorced again. And she thinks that in about 6-7 years, I'll be hearing from him when he needs money, which I think is funny. But she told me so many specific things that just completely blow my mind every single time. Even things, so like right now, Captain is deployed. I've been seeing him now for 10, 11 months. He would go on exercise, he would go on deployments, and I would ask her, like, when am I going to hear from him again? She would tell me. What is he going to do next? She would tell me. Literally anything about any guy, any question, I ask her for business advice, like whatever it is. But I filed for divorce because my psychic told me to. I can honestly say I don't know if I would have or when I would have if Sue had not pushed me over that line. And I'm still very much, you know, talking to her and hiring her and working with her. But I think the reason why it makes sense that I would file for divorce because a psychic told me to, and something that's fair to say, I was in therapy with my current individual therapist for about 2.5 years before my marriage ended. So if I separated July 2023, I think I started working with her Christmas 2020. So what is that? 21? Yeah, 2.5 years. I'd been working with her for a long time. And she had really reflected to me early on that this relationship was not healthy and I needed to be brave and want more for myself and that I would be okay. And like, therapists aren't supposed to like outright say like, you should leave that man. But without going as far as saying you should leave that man, she made it very clear. Still, I didn't listen to the therapist. I did not listen to my mom. I did not listen to Lacey, who's one of the closest people in my life. But I listened to Sue. And I think what's very true is that when you are in a very vulnerable place, like a divorce, it is really nice to have a third party tell you what to do and outsource your power a little bit. And I'm not saying it's the healthiest by any means. I'm not like advocating like you should ask your psychic if you should get divorced. If you have to ask that question, should I get divorced or not? The answer is probably yes. But I think it's normal when you are in such a vulnerable place, it's a normal response for your brain to be like, someone tell me what to do. Someone tell me it's going to be okay. And for me, Sue was that person. But I think ultimately, in terms of how did we create the results? How did we get here that now I'm doing a podcast called Hottest Ex-Wife Ever, nearly 2 years after my divorce? I was still the one who filed. I was still the one who hired the attorney. I was still the one who paid the settlement and the divorce fees. Like, I was the one who got myself a new house. Like, a psychic can tell you whatever. Like, a psychic could tell you, you know, you're going to be the next Taylor Swift, but it's whether or not you pick up the guitar and start writing songs. So I think that there's an element of the only way out is through, and it doesn't necessarily matter who tells you what to do, because my mom had told me for so long. So my aunt Gigi is the head of social work at a really big state university in the United States, like has served on presidential boards and state boards for social work and domestic violence and domestic abuse. And she had been saying for years to my mom that she would call my ex-husband the motherfucker. She would call, and she's never met this guy. She would call my mom, how's Briny? How's the motherfucker? So Briny is my nickname. So like B-R-I-N, Bryn, Sabrina, kind of, not really. But how's Briny? How's the motherfucker? Like Gigi just knew. So Gigi is giving this feedback of like, this is not normal. This guy is not okay. My mom begging me, please don't go back to him. Please don't. Lacey, same thing. You deserve better. My therapist, you deserve better. I can't necessarily say that like Sue had some sort of magical power that the others didn't, that I finally listened. But what I would say is that when you are finally ready to listen, sometimes it's someone completely unexpected who will say it that makes you believe like, okay, yes, I'm going to go do this. And so for me, it was a combination of things. It was the marriage was over at that point. I had started dating again and realized that there are nice guys out there. And then Sue telling me that I had to file, I was like, okay, just like trust, surrender, let's go and let's see what happens. And I have a completely different life now. Like I'm so much happier. But for sure, I mean, there was like weeks and weeks and weeks where I would go to her and just cry and be devastated. And she would be like with that like sweet little English accent, like, oh, love, I'm going to send you some healing. And, you know, here we are now. But one thing that I have noticed is all of Sue's predictions have come to pass, but they come to pass when I forget about them. So I was so, you know, wanting my divorce. All I want is a divorce for Christmas. I didn't really think or believe that the February, March deadline was going to come. I just thought it's too fast, but then it did. And it was when I let go of the February, March piece and kind of forgot about that, that it came through. You know, similarly, there have been things that she's told me about Captain, and I was just, you know, from my own insecurity, like, there's no way he likes me that much. Like, there's no way he's going to do that. There's no way he's going to show up. And one thing I will say is that her predictions have come true, but also he has exceeded what she has told me. So I think that a psychic could tell you you're going to have a great result and also still leave room and still give the universe permission to like literally blow your mind. And I think also just like looking back, it all makes sense and it all lines up. Like, of course I was going to get my divorce papers on Valentine's Day. Of course I was going to file on International Women's Day. Of course I was going to meet Captain during the solar eclipse last year, 2 days before I flew to Miami for my divorce party. Like, of course. Wild. So I'm only putting this together literally right now in my brain. I went on a date in August 14th with this guy, Army guy, interestingly. His nickname is going to be Missing in Action. He was like a lieutenant colonel or a colonel, whatever. He was like Silver Fox, super hot. I can't believe I'm about to say this out loud, but he has the biggest penis I've ever seen in my life. His real name is John. We would all call him Big Dick. Like, it is ginormous. Like, the first time I saw it, he was like, I don't think that's going to fit. And I was just like, oh my God. Okay, y'all. So this is a clip in. So normally I always record my podcast episodes in one go, but I told my friend like, oh, I told the story of Big Dick on the podcast. So she was like, how big was it again? So we're going to clip this in because I realized I like dropped a bomb there. I actually have a measuring tape with me. There's some measuring tape ASMR for ya. Looking at my measuring tape, granted it has been well over a year at this point, if I were to guess, and I'm not even overstating, that baby was 10 inches erect. Like, it was not necessarily fun or, you know, pleasurable. It was just ginormous. And then she was like, how big is Captain's? My boyfriend's is this big. And I'm like, oh God. But yeah, I think that I prefer them on the bigger side, but I don't like them that big. You know, I just think it was a little bit too big. And I could also tell that he was like a little bit insecure about it, but also like good on him. Cause like army boys, they all shower in front of each other. You know, like it's just like big shower halls and they just like go out and they fight wars and they take showers in front of each other and they like get tattoos on their ass. It's kind of weird, but like, I'm sure in the shower hall, everyone was like, ooh, so, you know, ginormous. But also I can see how he would be a bit insecure about it because you see memes where it's like, I want a big dick. And then you like see one that big and you're just like, oh dear God. So this little Goldilocks thought that one was, you know, a little too big. But yeah. Fun fact. What a fun clip in for my 25-year-old male podcast producer to clip in. Have a great day. Jesus saves. I can't believe I just said that, but here we are. So literally ginormous. But I went on a couple dates with him. I was talking to him for a couple of months, but what's super interesting is that the first night that we went out, I remember I didn't know anything about his career. It felt like a blind date in a sense where I'm like literally walking to the date and I'm like messaging him. I'm like, oh, what do you do, by the way? And he's like, oh, I'm an army officer, but you know, I'm not a stereotype. I'm like, okay, whatever. Interestingly, Captain was in Edinburgh at Edinburgh Castle that very day. And so I've sometimes have thought back on that because I was like, why did I like this guy so much? Like, I was just delusional about him. Like, I thought he was so great and he does have some really lovely qualities, but I genuinely still to this day believe that like Captain's energy just like rubbed off on this man. And that was like what I was picking up. But I do think that's really crazy because also that was right before he deployed for 6 months. And then 2 weeks after he deployed, he was in a bar in Edinburgh at a piano bar. And that's when I saw him and I grabbed his jacket and I said, nice jacket. And now here we are. But so yeah, so maybe it all needed to happen that way at exactly that right timing because You know, Captain was at Edinburgh Castle. This guy was at Edinburgh Castle. They crossed paths. His energy was on, you know, that energy. I don't know what it is. But it's interesting because Sue had said, and she felt these very strong predictions, like from before I even met Captain, about an army guy. She described him visually, which was kind of like missing in action, but not like 100%. She described timing. She described commitment. She described how he would show up. She, like, the whole freaking thing. And it was all Captain. And I think that's one thing I will go ahead and say about working with psychics is, like, it could still be right, but maybe it wasn't the first guy. Like, everything that I thought was going to be maybe missing in action was actually Captain. And also, you know, you just kind of have to release and, like, trust. And I also think that, like, energy shifts. Like, if I go to Sue today to ask her for a prediction, it might change based on the world, based on myself. Like, So to give you an example, something that's kind of like stressing me out at the moment, Captain is deployed and I have no idea where he is. But it's one of those deployments where, like, I cannot talk to him at all because, like, communication, like, it's literally not safe. There are some deployments that people go on and it just looks like a giant frat party. Like, this is not that. And so I don't know where he is. I have a guess, but reading the news and, like, seeing all the stuff that's being said about Ukraine and mineral deals and peacekeeping forces and reassurance forces and, like, all of these different things. And then, you know, President Macron is in the United States and then Keir Starmer is about to be at the White House, like, all of that stuff. And, like, watching all of that really stresses me the fuck out. So him being an army officer, obviously, if I ask Sue for a prediction about me and Captain, like, are we going to go on a summer vacation? She might be like, oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. It's going to be great. And then his deployment gets extended. Was Sue wrong? I don't think so. I think that she probably very likely would have been right. He would have come back early summer. We would go on vacation. Duh. And also maybe it shifted. Like, the universe is constantly shifting. And so for me, psychic is about reading into the energy of the current moment. But what I also find to be true about psychic readings is it just reflects back to me what I already know. Like, whether it worked out with missing in action or not, it didn't matter. It reflected back to me that I did not want to be with my ex-husband, that I 110 million fucking percent wanted a divorce. And whether it was missing in action or Captain's energy rubbed on him, it doesn't actually matter. Sue telling me you should file for divorce, that touched something within me that I knew, yep, that's the right move. I have personally never had her say something to me that I completely disagree with or intuitively didn't feel to be true. But I'm confident that maybe some of us listening to this, you know, podcast episode have had psychics tell us things where it's like, nope, that's not true. But also, even that is information. They're constantly pointing us back to what is it that I want for myself. And I think that's the relationship that you can have with a psychic where it feels really empowering. So something I didn't expect was, in working with Sue, I got really, really into tarot, and I have been through multiple tarot courses now. I've been working with someone else. I haven't been working with Sue just because I don't want to go learn the mushrooms and the birds. But I've been working with a really fantastic tarot instructor. And, you know, when we're talking about the major arcana, which are, think about it like the cards with the pictures and the names, like instead of the numbers, like Two of Swords or Eight of Pentacles, it's like that kind of first, you know, 22, 23 cards that we have. But all of the different images represent different stages of the hero's journey, in a sense. You know, so one of the cards that I will get all of the time is Wheel of Fortune. And in the Wheel of Fortune tarot card, if you Google it and look at a picture of it, there's literally this wheel, and there's the different elements of some of the different zodiac signs. So, you know, there's a lion for Leo, you know, there's a bull for Taurus, there's a goat for Capricorn, things like that. This wheel of fortune is basically saying some things are just going to take as long as they're going to take. And that card frustrates me sometimes, but it's also, for me at this point, a very peaceful card because it's like the only way out is through and you just have to surrender. And so for me, I think where psychics initially, it was this desire of like, tell me what to do, tell me what to do, tell me what to do. Now at this point, what I've kind of learned of having dropped way too much money on psychics is I know what I want for myself, and my magic comes in honoring that. And where I fucked up is I stayed in a marriage that I knew I didn't want for way too long. But I think sometimes she just gives me like permission to go for it. And you know what? Sometimes it's nice to get on the phone with like a little 75-year-old grandmother who's going to send you healing energy. But I very much hope you enjoyed this trip down memory lane and learning all about Big Dick and Sue and Captain and psychics. But yeah, I mean, I see Sue all of the time. I saw her on Friday. I'm recording this on a Tuesday, so 3 or 4 days ago. Because again, I was just, you know, a little bit stressed about Captain's deployment and was kind of asking her questions. But you know, if I ask her a question, I'm like, you know, should I move to London? And she says, no, absolutely not. I can feel in my body if that's true for me or not. So if you do choose to go to a psychic, I would choose to go to someone that you have been recommended to. But also when you're asking questions, because I'll sometimes be people like, oh, I'm just not going to tell them anything. As someone who does tarot readings for their friends, it is literally like a storytelling type aspect where it's like reading into the energy of something and you have to give us a little bit of information to come to like, what is the message that my soul needs to hear? It's not about who am I going to be with? What's going to happen next? Does he love me? It's like, what is this message that my soul needs to hear? And so the message that my soul needed to hear when Sue told me to file for divorce is that you deserve better. You deserve better than this. You deserve so much better. So I think having that question of like, what is the message that my soul needs to hear is a really powerful one. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I will see you next week. New episodes drop every single Friday, and you are the hottest of hot ex-wives and ex-girlfriends. And I hope you have a wonderful week. Bye, everyone.